Today, tariffs, the uncertainty gift that keeps giving. Hello again, it's Martin Noth from Digital Finance Analytics, one of its posts covering finance and property news. This is the weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. Another chaotic week, with the tariff issues spinning into farce, even as long-term bond yields claw higher, and friction with China and the US continues. Sentiments were initially buoyed at the start of the week by signs of easing trade tensions between the US and Europe after President Donald Trump delayed planned tariffs on imports from the EU. Investor focus then shifted to earnings of AI chipmaker Nvidia, which reported better than expected results in the middle of the week. Nvidia's strong results on Wednesday closed out a solid earnings season for big tech and the broader AI theme, which remains a key pillar of this bull market, Barclays said. But shares slid back on Friday as US equities swung from positive to negative and then back to flat amid the uncertainty. The pause did little to dent a stellar month, though, for the S&P 500, rising more than 6%. That's its best May since 1990. And the NASDAQ advanced more than 9%, its biggest monthly percentage gain since November 2023. The MSCI Global Index was flat for the day, but up 3.56% for the month, and the Stoxx 600 in Europe was up 2.28% across May, while the ASX 200 in Australia rose 2.39%. The volatility index was down almost 17% across the week, which may suggest pain is easing, but not so fast. President Donald Trump's trade war just cost companies more than $34 billion in lost sales and higher costs. That's according to a Reuters analysis of corporate disclosures, a toll which is expected to rise as ongoing uncertainty over tariff paralyzed decision-making at some of the world's largest companies. The $33 billion is a sum of estimates from 32 companies in the S&P 500, three companies from Europe's Stoxx 600, and 21 companies in Japan's Nikkei 225 indices. Economists say the costs to businesses will likely be multiple times what companies have so far disclosed. Across the US, Asia, and Europe, companies from Apple, Ford, Porsche and Sony have pulled or slashed their profit forecasts, and the overwhelming majority say the erratic nature of Trump's trade policies has made it impossible to accurately estimate costs. You can double or triple your tally, and we'd still say the magnitude is bound to be far greater than most people realize, said Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, professor at the Yale School of Management. On earnings conference calls for the January to March quarter, 360 companies, or 72% of the S&P 500 index, mentioned tariffs, up from 150 companies, or 30% in the previous quarter. Wall Street is expecting net profit for companies in the S&P 500 index to grow at an average of 5.1% per quarter through April to December, versus a growth rate previously of 11.7%. This means, of course, that the current S&P 500 forward PE is way over the top, suggesting equities are, well, frankly, overvalued, and significantly. To add to this, we got the trade court decision earlier this week, which called into question the legality of Trump's reciprocal tariffs, as I discussed in my earlier post. Then a high court postponed the 10 days given to reverse them, calling for more submissions. And we also saw conflicting comments from President Donald Trump about his trade war with China. In an early morning post on social media, Trump said China had totally violated the agreement reached between the two nations weeks ago. Bloomberg then reported that the Trump administration plans to broaden restrictions on China's tech sector with new regulations to capture subsidies of companies under US curbs. However, at an Oval Office meeting to mark the end of Elon Musk's role in the administration later in the day, Trump said he will speak to China's President Xi Jinping and hopefully work out their differences on trade and tariffs. I'm sure that I'll speak to President Xi and hopefully we'll work that out, Trump said. And then, Trump on Saturday announced plans to increase tariffs on foreign imports of steel from 25 to 50% to, quote, further secure the steel industry in the United States, unbound by that court ruling this week that tried to put a handbrake on his global trade war. By the way, those tariffs on steel and aluminium are not caught in the court ruling. Trump said, doubling the tariffs on imported steel will even further secure the steel industry in the US. But of course, such a dramatic increase will only push prices even higher. Though Trump initially vowed to block the Japanese steelmaker Nippon's bid to buy Pittsburgh-based US Steel, he changed course and announced an agreement last week for what he described as partial ownership by Nippon. Trade uncertainty is expected to persist as the Trump administration seeks to secure authority to impose higher duties despite setbacks. In the note, Morgan Stanley said it sees a shift in slower US economic growth into next year from 2025 as the timing for tariff hikes are pushed further out into the future. It's been quite a week, said Mark Malik, chief investment officer at Seibert. Within 4 days, we got a compressed version of what we've had for the entire month, which is the tug of war between the forces that drove markets higher last year and the prior year, that being AI and technology growth stocks, and then this looming challenge that we have with all these tariffs. Data showed on Friday, by the way, that US consumers increased their spending just marginally in April, and the closely watched personal consumption's expenditures price index rose 0.1% last month, in line with expectations. And Trump and Federal Chair Jerome Powell had their first face-to-face meeting on Thursday. Powell did not discuss his expectations for monetary policy, except to stress that the path of policy will depend entirely on income and economic information, and what that means for the outlook, a Fed statement said afterwards. Long-term bonds continue to journey higher, reflecting higher risks, with the 30-year Treasury at 4.927% and the 10-year at 4.403%. Two-year bonds were down a bit, though, to 3.9%, reflecting hopes of Fed rate cuts later in the year. The dollar was higher against major peers, including the euro, for a monthly gain against the Japanese yen. The dollar weakened 0.15% to 144.07 against the yen, while the euro was down 0.12% to 1.1348. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against the basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, rose 0.14% to 99.34 for a fifth straight month of losses, weighed down by, guess what, tariff uncertainty. Oil prices settled down as investors weighed a potential large OPEC plus output hike for July. Brent crude futures settled down 0.4% to $62.67 a barrel. US West Texas Intermediate crude finished down 0.25% to $60.74 a barrel. Oil prices have lost more than 10% since Trump announced his Liberation Day tariffs on April the 2nd. And OPEC Plus is set to meet on Saturday, with the members expected to authorize another bumper production increase for July after agreeing 411,000 barrels per day hikes in the previous two meetings. Gold prices slipped as the dollar edged higher. US gold futures settled 0.9% lower to $3,313.54. Investors continued rotating out of stocks and into bonds last week, with $19.3 billion worth flowing into fixed income funds and $9.5 billion pulled from equities. That's the largest stock outflow of 2025 so far. Gold attracted $1.8 billion, with year-to-date inflows annualized at a record $75 billion, while crypto recorded its strongest inflow since January at $2.6 billion. Passive equity strategies were also hit, with ETFs seeing their biggest weekly outflow since December 2024. Bank of America's Michael Hartnett reiterated his preference for the big allocation, bonds, international and gold, as the core strategy for 2025. He remains constructive on US Treasuries following the recent peak in tariffs and believes international equities are likely to outperform US in 25 due to better valuations and emerging fiscal support in Europe and China. Gold, meanwhile, remains the best hedge for US dollar bear markets, Hartnett added. Regionally, Japan recorded its largest ever weekly equity outflow of $11.8 billion in the past week, while emerging market stocks saw their biggest inflow of the year at $2 billion, Europe extended its streak to a seventh consecutive week of equity inflows. The US Senate will start debating Trump's tax and spend bill, the big, beautiful bill, as he's dubbed it, that in its current form is set to add about $4 trillion to the federal debt over the next decade. One element of the bill has unnerved investors in the last 24 hours is a tax targeting foreign investors that could potentially weigh on demand for US treasuries and the dollar. Deutsche Bank's George Cervellos warned that this could turn the trade war into a capital war. Canada's main stock index finished down on Friday after US President Donald Trump reignited fears of the US-China trade war. The bellwether TSX 60 lost 0.1% in trading after closing lower by 0.3% on Thursday. Earlier in the month, the two countries agreed to reduce or suspend tariffs, with the US agreeing to lower duties from 145% to 30% and suspending additional tariffs, and China cutting its tax from 125% to 10%. But US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent hinted at this development on Thursday, saying trade talks have become, quote, stalled. Canada's economy posted a modest rebound in March, with real GDP edging up 0.1% after a 0.2% contraction in February. That's according to the data from Statistics Canada. The monthly improvement helped boost overall first quarter growth to 0.5%, while GDP rose on an annualized pace of 2.2%, slightly ahead of the 2.1% pace recorded in the final quarter of 2024, and above the Bank of Canada's projection of 1.8%. European equities were mixed on Friday, even after the US court reinstated President Donald Trump's tariffs, with weak regional inflation data hinting at more interest rate cuts by the European Central Bank. The DAX index in Germany closed 0.1% higher, the CAC 40 in France fell 0.4%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK rose 0.7%. At the same time, German retail sales fell by 1.1% in April compared with the previous month. Subdued economic activity and cooling inflation points to another rate cut by the ECB when it next meets on June the 5th, with financial markets expecting that it would lower its key deposit facility rate to 2% from 2.25%. Such a move would mark the ECB's eighth rate cut in a row. A global sell-off in government bonds due to concerns over high debt and bond sales has not left the eurozone unscathed, but Germany's growing safe haven status should shield the bloc from an excessive rise in long-term borrowing costs. But Germany's 30-year bond yields have jumped around 40 basis points so far this year, in a move largely driven by the creation of a 500 billion euro infrastructure fund and an easing of strict borrowing rules to help lift defence spending. An increase in the curve slope can create challenges for highly indebted countries, which will face higher costs when they issue new bonds, as recent weak auction results in Japan and the US highlighted. It can also complicate the monetary policy outlook by triggering an unwanted tightening of financial conditions. Germany's 10-year Bund yield is trading around 2.5%, up around 15 basis points so far this year, while its UK and US peers are actually down between 8 and 15 basis points respectively. Germany's yield curve is currently steeper than the US because the ECB has almost completed its easing cycle, while the US Federal Reserve is expected to cut rates mostly in 2026. The UK government finalised the sale of the remaining shares in NatWest Group this week, effectively ending its status as a shareholder in the banking group. This signals the UK government's complete exit from the ownership of NatWest Group, a move that has been in progress since the financial crisis when the bank, formerly known as Royal Bank of Scotland, was bailed out by the government for a massive £45 billion. Taxpayers have lost a net 10 plus billion, but I guess the intervention alleviated a wider financial crisis. And elsewhere, Bank of England policymaker Alan Taylor downplayed the recent spike in UK inflation and reiterated support for lower interest rates, citing mounting risks to growth from US President Donald Trump's trade policies. Earlier this month, the Bank of England trimmed its inflation outlook now expecting it to peak around 3.5% in the third quarter, slightly below the 3.75% forecast previously. The central bank also estimates that the US tariffs will shave about 0.2 percentage points off UK inflation in 2 years and reduce the size of the economy by 0.3% over 3 years. Taylor's remarks stood in contrast to the more measured stance taken by Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey, who said in a speech on Thursday that a gradual and careful approach to future rate cuts remained appropriate given ongoing uncertainty around global trade and inflation. Meanwhile, UK Finance Minister Rachel Reeves is set to unveil a multi-year public spending plan on June the 11th as the government faces pressure over the state of public finances. And the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey urged the UK government to reduce the negative impact of Brexit by pursuing closer ties with the European Union, especially in financial services. Bailey stopped short of saying Brexit was a mistake, but was explicit about its costs, particularly the creation of new regulatory frictions, and also pushed back against the idea that the UK is the only party that stands to gain from closer financial ties. Asian stocks fell on Friday amid increasing concerns over US President Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Chinese markets led losses after Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said trade talks with Beijing had stalled in recent weeks, denting bets on a more permanent trade de-escalation. China's Shanghai CSN CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell between 0.5% and 0.7%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng slid 1.5%. Morgan Stanley took note of a further decline in investor sentiment for China's A-share market, noting a decrease in turnover and lukewarm macroeconomic indicators. The firm highlighted a lack of near-term stimulus measures despite an ongoing, if wobbly, interim tariff truce. The macroeconomic outlook remains muted, with Morgan Stanley economists saying that macro policy and growth model rebalancing seems elusive. A recent example cited is the ongoing car price competition, which is contributing to deflation due to supply-demand imbalances. In addition, retail sales growth in China also decelerated in April amid tariff disruptions, with a year-on-year increase of 5.1%. That's down from 5.9% in March and below the consensus forecast of 5.5%. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topic indices fell 1.3% and 0.7% respectively after Tokyo consumer inflation data was stronger than expected for May. Tokyo core CPI climbed to 3.6% year over year in May, up from 3.4% in April and above the market estimate of 3.5%. This marked the highest level since January 2025. Tokyo core inflation is viewed as the leading indicator for nationwide inflation trends and is closely monitored by the Bank of Japan. Tokyo core CPI, which excludes fresh food, was driven higher due to higher non-fresh food prices, particularly rice, which has soared 93% over the past year. The reading usually acts as a bellwether for the nationwide inflation figures, with Friday's reading giving the Bank of Japan even more impetus to raise interest rates. Analysts are now watching for a 25 basis point hike in July. Other data also showed some resilience in Japan's economy. Industrial production shrank less than expected in April, while retail sales grew more than expected. Japan bonds at the long end have increased their yields, though, as prices have dropped. The 30-year came back on supportive comments from Treasury, but then the recent auction of 40-year Japanese government bonds experienced their lowest demand in almost a year, indicating that investor caution is still there as global yields on ultra-long bonds rise. Other Asian markets sank on Friday as increased legal wrangling over Trump's tariffs ramped up uncertainty over their inevitable economic impact. South Korea's KOSPI fell 0.5% as local chip makers and tech stocks reversed course from the previous day, while India's Nifty 50 declined 0.33%. The India VIX was down 1.22% to 16.22. That's a new one-month low. The Australian share market rose for the second consecutive month after a US court blocked American President Donald Trump's tariffs, adding to hopes that global trade tensions will simmer down. The ASX 200 rose 0.3% to 8,434.7 points on Friday after 7 of 11 sectors were in the green, led by utilities. But of course, the markets will probably come back on Monday now. The benchmark rallied 3.8% in May, recording its best month since January. The All Ords rose 0.3% on Friday, notching its eighth consecutive weekly gain. Bank stocks were broadly higher, with Commonwealth Bank up 0.9% to 185.95. National Australia Bank was up 1.3% to $38. Technology stocks, though, were heavily sold, with WiseTech off 1.5% to $107.15 and Megaport down 3.1% to $13.52. Energy stocks were dragged lower by Woodside Energy and Santos, both tracking a steep decline in oil prices. Woodside fell 2.1% to $20.25 and Santos retreated 0.9% to $6.59. A surprise fall in retail sales, down 0.1% in April, sent government bond yields plunging 10 basis points and helped spur optimism that the Reserve Bank will step up interest rate cuts. The Aussie 30-year was down to 4.982%. Lithium stocks retreated after UBS downgraded the sector to underweight, also lowered its long-term price forecasts. Pilbara Minerals dropped 5.7% to $1.24 and IGO 5.4% to $3.88. UBS has warned clients that the brutal sell-off in lithium stocks is far from over, predicting that an oversupply of the battery material will continue to weigh on prices for the rest of the decade. That caused the broker to shift back to an underweight rating on the Australian share market's lithium sector, and UBS is tipping prices will recover slightly to around $750 US a tonne next year, but will not rise above $1,000 US a tonne until 2029. HealthCo, Healthcare and Wellness REIT, leapt 7.8% to 89 cents after it struck an agreement with troubled tenant Healthscope to partially defer rental payments and said it was in talks with alternative hospital operators. That drove Ramsay Healthcare up 5.9% to $38.30. And Findy dropped 8.9% to $4.60 as investors shrugged off the payment provider's 54% jump in underlying profit to $6 million in the 2025 financial year. Trade Minister Don Farrell lashed Donald Trump's doubling of tariffs on Australian steel and aluminium exports as an unfriendly act, with pressure mounting on Anthony Albanese to push the case for their removal when he meets the president next month. The latest decision is a fresh blow to Australian producers, which exported more than $444 million worth of iron and steel and $418 million worth of aluminium to the US in 2024. Australian steel and aluminium producers sell about 10% of their output to the US, but as a share of total exports to America, they account for only about 0.5%. Australia's position has been consistent and clear. These tariffs are unjustified and not the act of a friend, Farrell said. They are an act of economic self-harm that will only hurt consumers and businesses who rely on free and fair trade. We will continue to engage and advocate strongly for the removal of the tariffs. The Aussie was at 64.32 US cents and 47.83 UK pence. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin, having achieved a high of around 110,000 US on May the 26th, has slid back again to around 103,000, caught up in the general air of uncertainty. While inflation seems to be tracking in line with the Fed's expectation, the wild trade-related uncertainty can't be overlooked. Potential impacts are far-ranging and unpredictable, so we should expect continued swings in sentiment and volatility. Traders and speculators will play in those markets, but perhaps investors not so much. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.